Good morning. Today is Wednesday, February the 17th, 48th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Howdy.
Howdy. Good morning. I'm still, every time you say it, I'm waiting for the supervisorette that you used to always call me. Some things,
you know, I can't be too predictable, can I?
Well, and just when I expect that it's safe again, you'll start saying it again.
Here's a quote. This almost goes to the homeless stuff we were talking about. From William Penn. You remember him, right? Pennsylvania?
Sure. I mean, ballpoint pen?
No. Yeah.
Oh, different spelling.
That's why you took your classes at Eureka High and I took my classes. You're just going to get deeper and deeper, quicker and quicker here. Our quote from Mr. Penn.
Too early.
If men be good, government cannot be bad.
That's an excellent quote, other than, you know, what I'd normally say. It's
the inverse of that also works, right?
Well, there's that, and I think we're talking about men and just mankind, I suppose.
Oh, you're not doing crap, are you?
Only because I'm sitting here with you.
Okay, well, that's good then. As long as it doesn't get out in public, you're okay.
Wait a minute. I know we can't start over, but no.
That wasn't a reference to anything, was it?
Did it on purpose.
So last we got together, you've lost the titular head of the county. Mr. Phil is gone. And I presume they made it back to Kansas.
I believe so.
You haven't gotten a postcard yet?
No, we actually spent a little time with them before they moved. Then I believe there might have been a vacation involved. And so I think they're probably settled or pretty close to it now.
So everybody that leaves a top position in Humboldt County gets a vacation as part of the deal. Wood's got one. Now Phil's getting one.
Boy, I'm not sure I got on the wrong ship. I'm trying to think of it. Now you're making me think
that. Oh, too bad. So now what happens? Are you guys in full-scale recruitment mode to find a replacement? Are you hiring from inside and then going to try to get an entry level in the CAO's office? What's the status?
A little bit of everything. You know, yes, we're on full tilt to see who's best to bring into the organization or to bring in from our organization. And we've had, you know, dozens of folks that were interested in the CAO position. So that's good. Not all of them have, you know, the type of experience that maybe we're looking for. Certainly, it's nice to have some county government, like a CAO position. It's not necessary. You know, I think part of it is working well with other people. We have excellent candidates who work for the county already. We've actually called internal candidates that know the lay of the land. They understand the process. They know the challenges that we're going through. And then sometimes, you know, you look at, well, can someone bring something in from the outside that might be a different perspective? And so, yes,
outside government? Different perspective?
Well, probably not outside government. Outside of Humboldt County, you know, it's CAO is even different than city manager just by virtue of, you know, the breadth and depth of, you know, who's in charge. And it's a very different form of government. So you got to be a little more specific.
As you're looking, are you hoping to find somebody from inside just because they're here, they're settled? You don't have some of the challenges of relocation or for somebody who's not in the area?
I think you want to look as far and wide as you can. Certainly, I think someone that we already know would be wonderful. But I don't have my mind made up, put it that way. We haven't had opportunity to talk to folks. And while certainly I think the inside knowledge is very good, definitely want to keep my eyes, you know, open to see what others might bring forward.
So you're concerned that I might come through the front door?
We wouldn't let you through the front door.
Yeah, or the back door
or any door,
right?
You have a picture.
I thought the new one didn't have the dart sticking out from it, though. No? No, it just lasted a brief period of time.
I can't say.
You can't say that for certain. Okay. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, with some of the challenges going on now, you've kind of got a transition period with Health and Human Services or the Welfare Department or whatever we're going to call that entity. And I'm hearing that there's like fresh winds blowing through the office already. So that's kind of cool stuff, knowing that things
new are ideas
stirring around a little bit.
Yes, that's.
So are you looking for that with the CAO's office also?
I think you're always looking for those ideas that either.
No, evolution is different than revolution.
You guys are looking for a revolution
with DHHS. Are you looking for the same with the CAO, or are things going pretty good?
Well, I think they're going pretty good, but this is also the opportunity when there are such shifts to look at things a little differently. And we had an item on our agenda last week about reorganization and what that might look like. And that's the scary thing for employees, because they're going, well, wait a minute, what does that mean? But I think in our terms of looking at how it could be different is, what do we take the best, you know, what we do well already, and then bring in things that we can do better?
And then weigh the two and figure out which one's financially feasible?
Well, everything, or legally feasible. I think everything, you know, has the backdrop of needing to be financially feasible. It's just being creative. Like, does it mean that something moves to a different department? Does it mean there's a different focus? Does it mean it's a change in name only?
Yeah, but now you guys have got some monopoly money with the Measure Z. And that does change things a little bit. Now, granted, it's categorical funding, can only be used in certain areas, yada, 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 yada. But when there were arguments being made that sidewalks qualify for Measure Z, it's like, okay, logic's out the window. It's a free-for-all battle again, and you have to kind of focus and focus and focus. So it would seem like there would be – there's always chances. There's always gap management. Okay. So if it's only 4% that you need to improve on, or 3% that you need to improve on, is it the CAO's office in that position to drive that bus? Or is it the supervisors or another appointed department heads to focus in on those areas that are your frustration points at this time?
I think it's the supervisors. We operate as a board. You know, that's the difference. One of the differences with a CAO or county administrative officer and a city manager form of government. But at the same time, you know, we don't tell them how to do it, or him or her how to do it. You know, we've got to decide, you know, this is the direction we want to go. We think this sounds reasonable. Come back and tell us what that looks like. And that's where, you know,
you've got the easier positions.
Yes.
You just tell them to do it.
Well,
and then they figure out all the details. You don't have to worry about that.
And then, you know, we have to look at it and go, does this make financial sense? Does it do what we want it to? Is it just disrupting things for just the sake of disruption? That's not what that's not the best way to get things done. But there's an opportunity when changes are, you know, happening to look at going a little more in depth. And you mentioned the Measure Z funding, and I think we've all talked about how limited it is as far as duration. And I think there's a little bit of a tendency to talk about kind of like spending it all and, you know, having to be, you know, be wary of what it is we're actually spending it on. And I know last week we had the big discussion about roads. And I think roads are arguably public safety, especially when you can't, you know, public safety can't get to where you need help because there's the road issue. But, you know, in your case, sidewalks could be too, I suppose.
I just heard that got thrown out early on.
Yeah,
that was something that was viable.
Well, I think everything kind of gets, you know, it's the spaghetti on the wall theory, and you really have to take a hard look and go, well, in the scheme of things, where does this fall?
Yeah, just sliding down the wall.
some, that's true. Some just lands right on the floor there.
As you're using that analogy. Oh, yeah, no kidding. And what's down there waiting for it? And when as you're looking for some of the different aspects, there's also the overlay of the state government and what Brown is going to do, what he's going to stand up behind, what he's going to pass along. Are you hearing any changes of significance for the upcoming year?
You know, we hear, you know, we go to our meetings and you hear all sorts of talk, but as far as specifics, you know, nothing's coming to mind right now. I was absolutely amazed, though, hearing all the ballot measures that are potentially coming forward between now and November. I think they said there was over like 68 measures that have been circulated. It was absolutely mind-numbing.
Yeah, I had heard over 50 were out there. Of course, not knowing how many are going to come back.
Well, someone called it, it was like a Quentin Tarantino, can't say his name right, ballot, because you had everything from, you know, well, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and, you know, murder and mayhem. And it's funny, when they started going through all the different items, you're going, wow, he's right. So that's actually probably more concerning, because it's not necessarily what the, you know, governor does to us. It's what the electorate do. What happens with the electorate? Trying to figure out the right word usage.
Text there, yeah.
But we saw that with Prop 47. Everyone thought it sounded good, and it has really put a bind on small communities, because it wasn't what it was advertised to be. And people thought they did a good job voting for it, and it caused us more trouble than anything else.
Well, now there's some cleanup legislation, isn't that what they call it?
There's percolating lots of that around. For many different things.
It'll be intriguing to see how things play out. Are there any on the local level that you're looking at?
As far as ballot measures?
Yeah.
We do have the excise tax in regards to marijuana that we were talking about. We haven't had anything actually come forward to us yet, specifics.
Now, are you guys going to wait for that to happen, or are you going to get out in front of that as much as you are with the land use issues and say, if it passes, here's what we're going to do?
We're out in front of it as far as we can go, and probably farther than a lot of other communities, which is not always a comfortable place to be.
Yeah, well, you know, you get full exposure that way. All the paparazzi can take your picture. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass, talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Virginia, a couple of different things happened in the last few weeks. There was the announcement late Friday, I guess a week ago, that Pennair had stepped across the line. It was going to...
This usually sounds like a bad thing. We said stepped across the line.
You know, what I'm always curious about is, you know, the old axiom, if you don't want something played in the media, you send it out after deadlines on Friday. It doesn't get any airtime. It doesn't get any play. The cat's what happened with this. Now, I don't know. It could have been just a Friday afternoon and they were wrapping the week up, and that's when they shot it out.
Maybe they didn't want you to know.
That coincidence thing is a little, I don't believe in them. So the announcement comes out on a Friday afternoon. Hooray, hooray, hooray. Another air carrier. Okay, fine. Tom was in last week, Mattson, and shared a little bit about it. You've been much more involved with this than most. Is this the victory you were looking for, or was this a kind of a nice little surprise, but you're still going to be pushing for those direct flights down to L.A.?
I would definitely keep pushing. You know, I think what this was a nice victory, if you're using, I guess, the analogy of there's a lot more to be done, though. And it's like our recruitment efforts have to continue. And even if you got another two destinations here, we're going to keep continuing, because you never know when something might have to drop off, you know? So it's, we have to be safe.
But aren't you concerned about the economic viability? Or do you just say, we're a great place, we're a great place, we're a great place, and let them worry about the economic viability?
Yeah, they look at the numbers before they make a decision to go into a community. They have got all the data that they can possibly do. They have people who study, you know, the information, because they're not going to want to take away from their own business either, obviously. And so there probably does become a point of diminishing returns. But, yeah, we know that the Southern California market would be really big for us. So that seems to be where there's the highest demand. There's people who want to go east that we don't have a different location. So this is a piece of the puzzle. It was really exciting because there hadn't been direct conversations for, you know, several weeks that I'm aware of, maybe even longer while they were kind of setting up shop elsewhere. So it was like, wow, okay. It's nice, but it's not the, you know, it's not the end of our work. So
as you look at that scenario, and obviously there's not an awful lot of demand to Portland as there is to LA, it's going to be a percentage of. But for those of us that try to get out of Dodge and go somewhere in the country, to me, Portland is more convenient than LA is.
Yeah, Portland just doesn't have as many connections, I think, as when you get down, or like Seattle has more connections. It depends where you want to go. But
Portland does fly direct to Salt Lake. And they do go to Minneapolis, and they do
go to
Chicago.
Hawaii. I mean, I think they do.
Are you going to explore that one for us?
Sure, I'll put that on. Actually, a bunch of us are on that first flight that goes out on the 21st. Several of us are talking about going out in the morning and coming back just because, well, one, we want it to be successful, but it's a victory. You know, we need to celebrate the little things, and I'm pretty excited. And a lot of folks I know are just happy to have an additional, you know, option.
Now, it's not just going to Crescent City and coming back.
No, that would,
okay.
Yeah. No, that would be
dampen
going all the
spirit,
way to,
huh?
Portland.
Yeah.
And we were just looking at numbers today. There's over 300 seats that'll be leaving Arcata a day now.
Is that more or is that
no,
in
that's total. And that's with 7 flights. And which is actually right now, I think we have 3 or 4. It changes over, you know, the period of, you know, what they expect travel.
They adjust based on demands.
Yeah, they adjust based on demands. Perfect. And I don't think they used to do that when we were growing up. I don't remember that being the case. It seems like
4 flights and that's it.
Yeah.
And here's the bird and there it goes, you know, overhead.
So, and they are actually, there's going to be a flight to Redding from Arcata, which actually works well for a lot of people I know that, you know, don't necessarily want to drive to Sacramento. They're willing to do a round trip to Redding and rent a car and go down and come back. So it just provides more options. And for $100 round trip to Redding, you know.
Now, is it $100 from Redding to come here?
That's a good question. It's round trip. I'm not sure exactly.
I'm thinking summertime, you know, when we start to see that, it would save folks money, you know, if you're not driving. Unless... people in the car, but if it's a couple, it's going to save you money flying over.
I think
over.
You were into marketing or something. That's a really good idea.
Which tells me that because it really wasn't that cool an idea that you're not much into marketing these days anymore.
No. I like where I did that in school. No, but it makes sense. You know, where if there's an opportunity to entice people to come over here and it's much easier for them to get here to cool down during the summer, that makes sense.
Or Medford. And, you know, you got those two
hot places. So,
of course, then you'd have to spend money on advertising.
But there's creative ways to do that.
Oh, that's called being tight. KINS. There's information time. No. You're on that list now. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Virginia.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It is 844-843. Virginia, as you're looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, whether it's recruiting staff folks or recruiting airlines, getting folks coming to the area, economic development, all those types of things, are there consistencies? Are there themes that you run into? Are there themes that people get excited? Because whether or not we've got the airplanes coming in, or you got Phil's replacement, or Bill Gillespie stepped up for Ken, and you got, I mean, all these different things, that's dandy, but we still need jobs. And we still need to get the drug thing cleaned up. And we still need to get the homeless situation under control. Are we just shuffling right now, feeling and saying, God, that feels good, we're getting something done? Or is there progress going on?
I think there's progress going on. Obviously, you mentioned the air. That's progress, having Penn Air. Homeless, well,
right,
I mean,
but that by itself isn't going to do anything. It's just going to take United and split it a little bit. Maybe a couple people don't drive as often.
I think if you actually, when you have Greg on next time, Foster, he can actually probably explain better. I don't think it's going to take away. I think you've got people right now who are driving to Crescent City, and now they don't have to go that way to get to Portland. This is more, I don't see it taking necessarily the San Francisco traffic, but that's not my bailiwick. I always like that word. But, I think there's little things that happen and you get excited because of new opportunities. And there's a lot of apprehension because, man, we could do things wrong. But we know that if we don't try to do something, nothing's ever going to change.
Doing something is positive.
And so, just even with the city of Eureka and the county of Humboldt, being the first step on the focus strategies document on the, approach to homelessness and how to, make a difference there. Some people have been saying, well, that's not going to do anything. It doesn't do enough. It's like, you know what? You have to start with a vision somewhere, and then you work with your community partners to do the parts that are missing. And I think there is progress happening there because we're starting to pull different people together. We're having discussions on a housing trust fund. Well, before that used to be like a government-funded, a government thing out there. Well, that's a scary thing to people. Now we're figuring out how to bring in private investment. How do you make it flexible funding? How do you do something that's not just about brick and mortar, but actually help get people off the street now and not 10 years from now when you only get 15 people, or 20 people because you have limited space?
I had a buddy in from Maryland a week and a half ago. We almost saw two of Eureka's brightest hit, stepping out in front of cars that were like a half block away going at 40. And he said, so tell me something. Are these people who care, do they understand what's going on around them? Are they so self-focused and so self-absorbed? Are their minds gone? How does something like what we just saw happen? And I hadn't thought about, okay, because if you and I were in that situation, we're scrambling, we're busting, we're going to get out of it. But a lot of these folks don't seem to, for whatever reason. So is there interest? Is there abilities to get out of it? Or do you just say, okay, generation lost, you draw the line and you try to work with high school kids now that may not be tempted to get into the drugs and all this stuff that has led their older brothers and sisters or their folks into this zombie-like state?
Well, I think focusing on the kids, obviously, is one of the things we can do to make the future better. I'll tell you, between meth and opiate addiction throughout this country, it's an absolute nightmare and epidemic. And it's not just Humboldt County. I've recently spent some time with a lot of other supervisors and then people throughout the country, like involved in the National Association of Counties. I don't know if it makes us feel any better. We're not alone. It's just, how do you grapple with that? Because there are problems that we can't solve. We need people to help themselves, but a lot of these folks don't have the capacity. So what is it we do? And I think that's a very big question, Mark, and I'd love to say that I had the answer for you right now, but I don't.
That's okay. It wouldn't give us anything to talk about next time. Thanks for coming by. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.